hiding their own detonation behind a shell of scintillating molecules. When it was 500 kilometers in diameter, it began to thin, swirling with secondary colors like a solar soap bubble. It was 3,000 kilometers ahead of the Arikara, yet it was potent enough to burn out every one of the sensors which the flagship had orientated on that sector of space. "What the hell was that?" Meredith asked. The fear was there again, as always. Antimatter. 7 G's slammed him down in his couch as the starship accelerated away from the planet and the dwindling explosion. Clark Lowy and Rhys Hinnells reviewed the patchy tactical situation data leading up to the explosion. "It was one of their starships which imploded, sir," Clark Lowy said after a minute's consultation. "The patterning nodes were activated." "But it was only 3,000 kilometers above Lalonde." "Yes, sir, they must have known that. But they took out the Shukyu and the Bella. I'd say it was deliberate." "Suicide?" "Looks that way, sir." 5 ships. He had lost 5 ships, and God knows how much damage inflicted on the rest of them. Mission elapsed time was 23 minutes, and most of that had been spent flying into orbit from the emergence point. "Commander Kreber, withdraw all squadron ships from orbit immediately. Tell them to rendezvous at the jump coordinate for Cadiz." "Aye, aye, sir." A direct repudiation of the First Admiral's orders, but then there was no mission left, not any more. And he could save some crews by retreating now. He had that satisfaction for himself. The gravity plane shifted slightly as the Arikara came round onto its new vector, then reduced to 5 G's. Another salvo of combat wasps was fired as enemy drones curved round to intercept them. Madness. Utter madness. The river was one of the multitude of smaller unnamed tributaries that covered the southwestern region of the colossal Julif Basin. Its roots were the streams wandering round the long knolls which made up the land away to the south of Durringham, merging and splitting a dozen times until finally becoming a single steadfast river 200 kilometers from the Julif itself. At the time the space planes brought down the mercenary scout teams, there was still a respectable current running through it. The deflected rains hadn't yet begun to affect the flow of water. In any case, the lakes and swamps, which accounted for a third of its length, formed a considerable reservoir capable of sustaining the level for months. The snow lilies, too, were relatively unaffected. The only difference the Red Cloud made was to extend the period it took for the aquatic leaves to ripen and break free of their stems. But where it ran through the thickest jungle that made up the majority of the Julif Basin, the snow lilies seemed almost as numerous as always. Certainly they managed to cover the river's 30-meter width, even if they weren't layered 2 or 3 deep, as they had been in previous seasons. Where the tributary ran through a quiet section of deepest jungles, one of the snow lilies, 5 meters from the bank, bulged up near the center, then tore. A fist with grey, water-resistant artificial skin punched through and began to widen the tear. Chaz Pask broke the surface and looked round. The banks on either side of him were steep walls made from the knotted roots of cherry oak trees. Tall trunks straddled the summit. Their white bark stained magenta from the light filtering through the tenebrous canopy far overhead. As far as the combat-boosted mercenary could see, there was nobody around. He struck out for the shore. His left thigh had been badly damaged by the white fire flung by the women who'd ambushed them. It was one reason for diving into the river as his team fled from the space plane's landing zone. Nothing else seemed to extinguish the vile stuff. Their shrill, delighted laughter had reverberated through the trees as the mercenaries crashed through the undergrowth. If he had just been granted another minute to unload their gear, establish a perimeter defense formation, the outcome would have been so very different. They had enjoyed it. Those vixen women, that was the terrifying part of it, calling happily to each other as the mercenaries ran in panic. It was a game to them, exhilarating sport. They weren't people as he understood. Chaz Pask was neither a superstitious nor religious man, but he knew that whatever evil had befallen Lalonde had nothing to do with Latin, nor was it going to be solved by Terence Smith and his ragtag forces. He reached the bank and started to climb. The roots were atrociously slippery, his left leg dangled uselessly, and his arms and back were badly burnt, debilitating the boosted muscles.